In this video, I'll discuss some of the main obstacles that Pemex faces in becoming efficient and profitable. Most of these obstacles come about because of Pemex's unique relationship with the government and the contribution it makes to the federal budget. In the following video, I'll discuss how these problems have contributed to poor performance, as well as some prospects for reform. Pemex has been an excellent cash cow for the government, sometimes making up almost 40% of Mexico's federal budget. Policymakers have a history of pushing Pemex into supplying short-term revenues instead of focusing on the long-term, which would entail greater investment in infrastructure, technology, reform, and a serious push to find new oil fields. The Mexican Congress only receives information about the overall situation at Pemex. It does not evaluate its strategy, new projects, or investments. Members of Congress typically do not have the time, the technical or professional staff, or the expertise to focus on these issues anyway. But the emphasis on current expenditures and revenues often means that they focus too much on the short term. As one analyst wrote recently, quote, "The Congress is prone to fury when Pemex doesn't deliver quick or expected results." Also, I should note that the financial crisis that Mexico has faced in the last three decades has done nothing to alleviate this focus on short-term fixes. Pemex is controlled by a board of directors that has the power to make all senior-level appointments in the company, except for the position of CEO, who is personally designated by the President of Mexico. The President also appoints 6 of the 15 members of the board directly, and these are typically government ministers. Of the remaining 9 members, 5 positions are held by union representatives, and since the reforms of 2008, the last 4 are supposed to be independent of the government, the company, and the union. There are 2 major problems in the oversight of Pemex. First, the fact that government ministers sit on Pemex's board as well as regulate the company means that there's a serious conflict of interest. And 2, federal agencies lack the technical expertise to effectively regulate Pemex. To a certain degree, the company is self-regulated. A recent paper on Pemex notes that, quote, "All of the company's capital expenditures are reviewed by the finance ministry, which has little knowledge about long-term investments in technical and production capabilities in the oil industry, and the need to embed such investments in a risk management framework." There's also been a large amount of turnover in the energy ministry in recent decades. In the 6 years of Vicente Fox's presidency, there were 4 different energy ministers. And in Mexico, when a new minister is appointed, all of the senior officials in that ministry also change over. So there's very little chance for consistency or for the agency to deepen its knowledge of Pemex over a long period of time. The lack of oversight has several negative effects on the management of Pemex. It means that there are different layers of oversight, and some of those conflict with one another. Managers at Pemex aren't typically held accountable for performance, so they have little incentive to rock the boat and suggest reform. And lastly, if government agencies do want to change the way in which Pemex operates, they face, quote, "an uninformed Congress that is prone to focus on an immediate and sure yield rather than hypothetical benefits from a new approach to risk investment." The end result is a company that doesn't take risks or strives to be on the cutting edge of petroleum technology. One energy researcher notes that, quote, "Mexico's oil industry is both overregulated and badly regulated and operates in a set of regulatory vacuums, some of which Pemex has filled, merging the tasks of the operator with others that correspond to the authorities." Pemex has been tightly regulated by the Ministry of Public Administration to get rid of, quote, "irregular practices and corruption." However, while the ministry has done a good job of scaring many people into not taking risks, they don't seem to have done a very good job of preventing corruption. There's also so much regulation that it makes it difficult for new companies who want to sell goods and services to Pemex. They have to, quote, "comply literally with detailed rules that are unusual in the international oil industry." The end result is a mess of both, quote, "obsolete and unenforceable rules that make doing business difficult." Even among national oil companies, Pemex stands out in the level of its vertical integration. In other countries, oil companies have been getting away from vertical integration, outsourcing certain functions to improve profitability. Pemex, on the other hand, provides health care for more than 1 million current and retired workers and their families. The company also employs more than 1,500 telecommunications employees, as well as providing perks such as schools and daycares. Pemex used to be one of the main employers of highly qualified engineers in Mexico, and some attribute this at least in part to the fact that the company ran the Mexican Petroleum Institute, which supplied it a steady stream of petroleum engineers. However, that's no longer the case. Pemex no longer has good training programs in-house, and the fact that the company is so vertically integrated, as well as a monopoly, means that it's difficult for engineers to get the needed experience outside of the company. Because Pemex lacks the engineering expertise, it is forced to depend on contractors in many cases. The company is also in need of improved management skills. One senior executive at the company stated that, quote, what Pemex needs to learn most from contractors is modern project management, such as managerial skills that would be even more important than any technological transfer Pemex could gain from those companies. Pemex is no longer operating in a situation where almost all of the oil is flowing from one large field. Now there are myriad fields and about 140,000 employees, meaning good management is crucial to future profitability. Lastly, let's talk about the union. Pemex union leaders wield an immense amount of power. One analyst notes that they are, quote, virtually untouchable and have a de facto veto power over management proposals. So how do they have so much power? Well, first, they have 5 seats on the 11-member board that controls the company. Second, Pemex managers cannot decide unilaterally which workers are hired. That's the job of the union. Union leaders also decide which workers will staff which projects, which of course gives them a lot of power over individual workers. It's clear that this kind of arrangement is ripe for corruption and irregular practices. Let's take an example. Most oil companies employ 800 people for a refinery that processes 200,000 barrels of oil a day. At Pemex, though, there are around 4,000 workers. And of these 4,000, one half are considered unspecialized or uneducated or untrained, with no clear job descriptions or duties. Clashes between management and the union reached a peak in the mid-1980s. As we discussed in a previous video, President Carlos Salinas jailed Pemex union leaders on corruption charges and laid off around 100,000 workers from the company. The union has since regained its strength, but it has decided that other tactics are more profitable. Instead of violence and daily strikes, union leaders have decided not to resist much of management's new strategies as long as they are allowed to directly benefit from them. While I've discussed many different problems that Pemex faces, they're really only the tip of the iceberg. The obstacles are myriad, and I try to focus on the issues that seem most pressing. In the next video, we'll look at what kind of effect those problems have had on Pemex's oil production and what the prospects for reform are. And one of the main sources that I used in this video is Stojanovsky's 2012 Handcuff, an Assessment of Pemex's Performance and Strategy, which is an excellent analysis of Pemex's problems and prospects for reform. I also relied heavily on Adrián Lajoux's The Governance of Mexico's Oil Industry in making this video. It provides a nice overview of the political economy of Pemex and the many challenges it faces.